Hello, everybody. Welcome again to a special episode of the Point Forward podcast. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Sitting across from me is one Ben Steele. He covers the Marquette men's and women's basketball teams for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Both Marquette teams are headed to the Big Dance. We can mention the women's team here in a minute. They got a number 9 seed on Selection Sunday. And the men's team, as I think a lot of people know, a number 2 seed. That is the best seed in school history. You know, technically, like, you know, they started seeding that thing out in 1979. So, like, let's be honest. There were some teams that would have been ones and twos. But, Ben, you had, I'm assuming, a pretty interesting time in New York going to Madison Square Garden. What we have to start in the most important place. What did you do outside of basketball when you were in New York? You get to pretty much go every year at the Big East Tournament.
Yeah, this was a little bit longer trip than last year when Marquette went one and done, losing to Creighton in the Thursday slate of the Big East games.
Yeah.
Actually, there wasn't a lot of personal
downtime.
You know, I got there, I flew into Newark, lovely Newark airport, and took the train straight to the Garden.
Love that.
You know, Tyler Kolek and Shaka Smart were honored as coach and player of the year, respectively. They had a big press conference that day. So I got out a little that night. But otherwise, there was a lot of time spent inside Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, well, if things go well, that's exactly where Marquette's going to be for the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. The bracket would have
crazy.
Them going back to the scene of the Big East tournament. So yes, Marquette wins 3 games in that tournament, and we'll talk about their seeding. They play Vermont, of course, 15th seed. The Catamounts. Oh, we'll have to talk about the Catamounts. What a delightful collection of mascots in this tournament, by the way, and again, we can discuss that in a minute.
Raging Cajuns,
Paladins. It's a good time. It's great. But let's start with why Marquette was able to get up to a number 2 seed, and that was really because they finished with such a flourish here, and they won 2 absolute nail biters. Mm-hmm. They beat a UConn team that I quite honestly think is probably just as good as they are, if not a little better. And it came down to the final moments. Marquette made some great plays on defense. Oh, just an incredible final 3 minutes of defense to seal that one. And then they absolutely take Xavier to the woodshed. I think we could say Xavier bounced back into that game, but that was Marquette from the jump. What are your takeaways here from the Big East tournament? I mean, that's the first time they've ever won it. Obviously, that's a big deal. Marquette playing at the absolute peak of its powers. Did you know they were picked to finish 9th in the preseason poll?
First time hearing of that.
One team got in the, what was it, Kansas State? Picked to finish last in the Big 12, is that right? And they're like a 3 seed or 4 seed?
Yeah.
So
Marquette could face them.
That's right. So that would be a storyline that we'll have to revisit, but... What are kind of the 2 or 3 things that really stand out from that Big East tournament? Because that was some impressive stuff, some nail biting, but also just great stuff for Marquette.
As you mentioned, you know, Marquette has surprised a lot of people this season, and they even surprised me a little bit. As a guy who's watched every game pretty closely this season, they surprised me those last 2 games, especially against UConn. It was, you know, if you had told me that Oso Iguodaro, Tyler Kolek, David Joplin would all be in foul trouble, you know, serious deep foul trouble, and Oso Iguodaro would play only 6 minutes in the second half and half the game overall, you know, with Marquette's thin front court, I would have said Marquette would have 0 shot against UConn and their big behemoths, Adama Sinogo and Donovan Klingon off the bench.
Yeah, that's just a terrible matchup, though. You would have thought.
Yeah, you would have thought. I mean, coming into that game, I was one of the guys who would have said UConn was going to win that game. You know, it's on me as a hater too. So
you are one of them.
I'm one of them. But like they have so many times this season, this Marquette team surprised us in that UConn game. It was David Joplin, you know, the local kid, coming off the bench. He had at 6'7", he was forced to guard those big guys. But on the other end, he was coming up huge, like hitting big 3-pointers, spacing out those big men away from the basket on the offensive end, and defensively, I think that was. The biggest takeaway for me was those last 2 games. You mentioned the stops at the end of the UConn game, but I think that first half against Xavier, like Xavier never stood a chance from the jump, just with the way we knew Marquette's offense was good. It's been good all season, been top 5 in KenPom for the last several months, number 1 for a long time earlier this season. Defensively, you could see flashes throughout the year, but that first half against Xavier, they were awesome. Like deflections, everything that Shaka Smart preaches on defense, activity, defense, gang rebounding, helping each other when players get beat. It was all working in concert in that first half against Marquette or against Xavier. So that was maybe that first half might be as good as I've seen them play. You know, offensively against Baylor early in the season, they were dominant. That was probably their best performance offensively early this season. But combined offense and defense, it might have been that first half against Xavier.
Marquette, this team, you know, first of all, let's talk about David Joplin, because this team for a while, the last few years, has not had a presence from the state of Wisconsin on this mm-hmm. roster. That was not always the case. The 2003 team, loaded with Wisconsinites.
Diener,
yes, yeah. Dwayne Wade is the highlight. Right, Diener,
Novak.
Robert Jackson, Scott Merritt, yeah. Steve Novak. There's a couple others. I'm drawing a blank probably mm-hmm. on one or two more. This is a different situation for Marquette. They just haven't pulled from the state. And I don't know if that correlates to maybe a pulling back of sort of the statewide fandom that this team has had. I feel like over the last few years, it's been just a Milwaukee team. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's also a little bit understandable. Wisconsin has a much bigger, you know, alumni base to draw from. So that's partially why you kind of get that dichotomy here in Wisconsin. But even this year, I didn't feel like Marquette really captured the imagination of the state of Wisconsin. But David Joplin's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. Big East sixth man of the year from mm-hmm. Brookfield Central High School, like you said. Obviously, the coach, Shaka Smart. A Wisconsin native from Oregon High School. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe the tide is turning a little bit. I don't know what you sense of that, if you feel like, certainly among the Marquette fan base, this is the most energized they've been. And, you know, why not, of course. In 2 years, Shaka Smart has taken this team from a project into a bona fide national title contender. But I don't know. Do you have any sense? Kind of, I know you're in it, so maybe it's harder to sort of capture what you feel like, how the state is responding to this. I don't even know if this is a big story. I feel like it should be even maybe a bigger story that they're a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's just a wild turn of events. So I don't know. Do you have any thought on that? Any comment on that? Or is that just too hard for you know, a guy in your position to kind of get your arms around?
Well, I've definitely noticed that the bandwagon has gotten a lot fuller the last month or so. And, you know, that's statewide. I think that's even nationwide when you see national pundits and
sure,
a lot of people.
Sure.
You saw Jay Wright on CBS yesterday picking Marquette to get to the championship game.
So handsome.
Yeah. In an incredibly, impeccably tailored suit.
It's just wild. He's elite.
So, yeah, I mean, just if you win, you're going to get more attention. That's just the way, you know, obviously that's just the way it goes. Statewide, yeah, I'm definitely starting to there's definitely more buzz. And I think, you know, I spent all my time in the city of Milwaukee, so maybe that's a kind of bias on my part, that a recency bias or geography bias. I don't know if that's a scientific term, but
it's a thing.
I could definitely feel the attention, especially in the last week after Marquette got the outright title against Butler in the second to last regular season game, and then this 3-game run in the Big East tournament, Madison Square Garden. It's the electricity was there.
Yeah, I think nationally, when people start printing out brackets, seeing a high seeded team that isn't a perennial title contender, they're going to be a sexy upset pick,
mm-hmm.
especially with this corner, this East regional that I don't think is particularly loaded. I feel like there are other regionals that are certainly tougher. So I'm going to look at that just real quickly mm-hmm. here. If Marquette beats Vermont in the first round, which we should maybe talk about the Catamounts a little bit, but assuming that happens, they would face either USC or Michigan State. Super interesting possibility there with Michigan State.
Mm.
Joey Hauser, of course, is a senior leader for the Spartans. Mm. He started his career at Marquette University and then transferred in a pretty high-profile situation. Stevens Point High School product and one of the leaders of the Spartans. That would certainly be an intriguing second-round matchup. USC has a Wisconsin kid as well on their roster from Nicolet High School, Kobe Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So brother of Jalen Johnson, mm-hmm. who plays for the Atlanta Hawks. So there's a little intrigue there as well. Couple kids that, you know, in one case, Marquette very much did recruit, and I guess theoretically could have recruited Kobe Johnson as well. So just in this first setting, this first group, the first weekend, what strikes you? What do you know about Vermont? And kind of where is there anywhere where they could give Marquette problems? And then who do you think maybe matches up better in that second round game?
I know a little. I haven't watched a lot of Marquette or Vermont games.
No, the America East is not tripping your free time fancy.
I've looked at their stats. I've looked at the players there. They got a lot of old guys.
Dude, all of
guys
these
have been
all
around
these teams.
They got a guy that I was reading about that played at Delaware and then went to UConn for 3 years just as a student to get his undergrad degree.
No
and then
way.
3 years later, he's come back and playing his last year of college basketball at with Vermont with the Catamounts.
Look, I don't, not to interrupt you, but like these teams, these mid-major or low-major, however you want to look at it, they're all like they're Colgate almost, has a 25-year-old guy on the roster, and he's great. And they could, I mean, that's a 215. Texas should win that game. That's a different region. But like, you know, you cannot possibly replicate the volume of experience that these teams have right now because of the extra COVID year. There mm-hmm. are there are guys who aren't going to play pro basketball. So they are 24, 25 years old. They've been playing basketball for like seven years. That's interesting. I feel like that could pose some issues for some teams in this tournament. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah,
carry
and
on,
you look at their shooting numbers. They're always a good shooting team. Mm-hmm. They have been going back to their previous coach now under the current regime. If you look at the list of the competition they played, they haven't played anybody near the caliber of Marquette. So they're not defensively. I think they're going to be in for a surprise when they see this top ranked, you know, one of the top five KenPom offenses in the nation. But you know, like the caveat always, this is March. You know, all the cliches are true. You can't take anyone lightly. So
Taylor Coppenrath not coming through that door for our Catamounts here.
Yeah. TJ Sorrentine, right?
Oh yeah, great pull, fantastic. So the second round,
yeah, the Joey Hauser subplot. That's you know that's an inevitable storyline there. If that game gets in, although there's
that's an A plot.
There's no, not a lot of connections left at Marquette that were around when he played. Right. There's a handful of support staff people, but there's no players left there. No coaches from the previous regime when Joey was here for a season and a half, really.
All right.
It's not the same. Like, traditionally, you would say with this Marquette team, with their issues with rebound and giving up a lot of offensive rebounds, typically that would be a Tom Izzo-coached, tough rebounding team would pose some issues for Marquette, but this is a little this isn't quite the same caliber of Michigan State team that's you would think of when you think of a Tom Izzo team, but we'll see.
So if they are to get out of that, there are a couple teams they could see in the Sweet 16 again. That would be in Madison Square Garden, back at the scene of the Big East Championship, and the first team could be Kansas State, no longer coached by Bruce Weber. But again, that was a team that has a very similar arc to Marquette, and that they were picked to not do well, and they just went ahead and did very well. Or Kentucky, Providence, you can't count them out as a team to beat Kentucky in the first round. Montana State is a team that sees Kansas State. Kentucky has played Marquette 10 times in the NCAA tournament. 10 times.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that the other week.
Insane.
Wisconsin and Marquette just... It's inevitable that they'll run into a Kentucky team somewhere down
the line
in the bracket.
Of course, Dwayne Wade's triple-double in 2003 in the Elite Eight is against Kentucky. Marquette's won the last three meetings against them, but I believe it's 6-4, I believe, is the record in those 10 games, if I remember correctly. So just constant, you know, the 1994 game with Tony Miller that you wrote about earlier this year comes to mind. I mean, everybody who follows Marquette will have a story about seeing them play Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. This is a Kentucky team that looked really bad for most of the season in terms of expectations versus what was happening. They looked absolutely destined for the NIT or something like the first four. They were able to turn it around in the latter half of the season. They have some very good wins, including, you know, over, I think Tennessee was number one at the time in the SEC. I might be misremembering that, but they got the ship righted. Very young team, as is often the case with Kentucky. So that's kind of interesting.
That's a when you're talking about on-paper matchups for Marquette, Kentucky might be one of the worst ones you could draw up for Marquette. Just with Oscar Tshiebwe, just a human rebounding machine, that's a lot of second-chance points waiting to happen against Marquette's front line. And then you got Cason Wallace, the freshman guy on Kentucky, that's a really, really, really good defender. That's where he's probably going to make his bones in the NBA probably as soon as next season. You got a player like that can guard Tyler Kolek and slow down the engine of Marquette's offense. So on paper, that's got to be one that scares you if you're a Marquette fan.
Yeah, I like that. I think you're absolutely right. But maybe Providence gets Kentucky in the first round. You read about Tshiebwe, not quite the National Player of the Year candidate that he was when he won that award last year, but still an absolute monster on the glass, as good a rebounder as college basketball has, quite honestly, has ever seen. So especially for a guy his size, really, really impressive stuff. And then you look at the one seed. Obviously, this is all on paper. It could be Florida Atlantic against Marquette in the Elite Eight. We have no idea. Florida Atlantic might be a very good team for a nine seed, but Purdue. vulnerable. And I want to say, as vulnerable as any of the one seeds are, they just haven't played dominant basketball down the stretch. Now, they won the Big Ten tournament. They won the Big Ten outright. So, like, obviously, I am splitting hairs to some degree. They are a one seed, and they have a 7'4" big man who is a national player to player of the year contender in his own right, and a truly special talent. But if you are quick enough to deny him that basketball, and you are quick enough on the perimeter to defend that stuff, that is going to be a test. But I think Marquette is equipped to handle that, and I like Marquette against Purdue. I feel like that is an okay matchup for them, and ultimately, I think I'd pick Marquette to beat Purdue. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little too optimistic. What did we decide? There's a geography bias. Let's lean into it. Let's pick Marquette in the Final Four.
Well, you think back to the third game of the season for Marquette. That Marquette was up 9 on the road in Lafayette and had a chance to close it out. And Marquette hadn't quite learned how to close out games that early in the season, but they were really good against. I mean, Zach Edey's still put up pretty good numbers in that game, but Marquette's really good at doubling the post, and they have all super athletic guys on the backside to kind of cover for the open guys that the double team leaves open. And Marquette's gotten way better on defensively, like we just talked about a few minutes ago, since that early in the season. But Purdue, they got those freshman guards that have kind of hit the wall a little bit the last month. And if you want to go up against a Marquette team that likes to pressure the ball and has guys that gets up into you, as if you're trying to dribble and start the offense, that could cause some issues if you're Purdue.
Of course, it would be foolish to just overlook the idea that it will for sure be Purdue in that game. Duke and Tennessee, two other teams in this bracket, that top half of the bracket, that could absolutely get into the Elite Eight. Duke playing as well as anyone in the country right now. Mm-hmm. Tennessee for a time was the number one team in the country. So those are very good teams. And those guards at Purdue, they were really just such a surprise. Mm-hmm. These aren't like blue chip prospects who just came out of the gate absolutely dealing. Yeah, they've tapered off a little bit. Purdue, though, did have a second win. There was a period of time where it's like, okay, they've fallen. Their early momentum, which was so hot, has fizzled. They got it back. They won the Big Ten tournament. Even though those were dogfights, they won them. They won all three. Mm-hmm. So props to the Boilermakers. Matt Painter, of course, has not been to a Final Four. Mm. Always eager to find that coach, the greatest coach in the field who has not already been to a Final Four. And Matt Painter probably as good as anybody on that list right now. Of course, we are all looking forward to a Texas A&M Marquette national championship game involving Buzz Williams.
Storylines write themselves.
Yeah, I can find them. I can find them just about anywhere. There's a lot of Wisconsinites in this tournament. I'm curious what you think. Oh, and to go back to our handsome friend Jay Wright, he actually picked Marquette to make the national championship game against Kansas. Yes, Cavs Kansas winning, because clearly as a 13-year-old boy, Jay Wright loved watching that Kansas Marquette national championship game in 1974. I got to think that's some nostalgia there. That would certainly be something. We would definitely have a storyline if that were the case. Probably many, because Marquette would be in a national championship game. This team, I feel like it snuck up on people. Clearly, no one expected the team to be as good as it was coming into the season. That's been well documented. Mm. How good are we talking in terms of Marquette history? Because Marquette had that period of time with the Big Three. Dom James, Jarrell McNeil, Wesley Matthews, teams that were awesome. Those three guys were awesome. They never made it out of the first weekend. They never made it to the Sweet 16. And then Buzz Williams takes a few teams further. Vander Blue has that insane tournament in 2013, where he was just Johnny on the spot. They get all the way to the Elite Eight, fall to Syracuse. That team probably overachieved in the tournament, safe to say, but still, that was a pretty good team. There have been some great players, Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler, Darius Johnson-Odom, that have come through here. Where does this one rank? It's really kind of hard for me to contextualize what this team looks like in the history of Marquette.
Yeah, a lot of those Buzz Williams teams, they were just kind of super scrappy defensive teams that would win a lot of rock fights, right?
Yeah.
But this Marquette team could score as well pretty easily. About as good offensively as I think any Marquette team in history, just efficiency-wise. So that always gives you a chance. And then, like we talked about, if the defense can continue the trajectory that it's been on for the past month, and they're never going to get to the level that the offense is at, but if they can get to a respectable level, I think that makes them really dangerous. And, yeah, man, if that's the case, then you got to go back to you know, the 2003 team, and then before that, man, you got to push back to the 70s that's the kind of rare era that this team has the potential to get to.
Couple storylines I'm watching elsewhere in the bracket. Could have a Sweet 16 matchup between Alabama and Virginia. Both of those teams coached by Wisconsinites. Tony Bennett, of course, at Virginia. Nate Oates at Alabama. It's been an interesting year for Alabama, to say the least. Star player who was kind of wrapped up in a murder investigation. It played a small role. There was some controversy about continuing to let him play, even though he hasn't been charged with a crime, won't be charged with a crime. Nate Oates defending him and got himself in some hot water for maybe brushing it aside, not taking it quite so seriously right out of the gate. Nate Oates is from Watertown. That could be an interesting matchup. Alabama, I mean, they're the number one overall seed in this tournament. They could easily win this thing. Houston is an interesting team. Again, a team that, I mean, they've got Final Four pedigree. Like they went to a Final Four. Was that last year, right? Mm-hmm. And are always at the top of the tournament. Kelvin Sampson, the coach there, but not from a power conference. So I know that I know that there will be people hesitant to put them in the. In that definite championship caliber conversation, but they are, you know, they're very good. And obviously Kansas is a team that's been about as good as any team all year. Mm-hmm. They can face UCLA if seeds hold in the Elite Eight, and that would be just an incredible matchup.
There's really no dominant team this year, so it just feels pretty wide open.
Yeah, I agree with that. We just don't have that. I would say, and I don't know if Kansas was going into the tournament last year, I would say, or at least they were one of two or three that you really had to figure would be in that championship game, and then they went ahead and finished the deal. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think we have that team this year. I guess maybe Alabama or Kansas are those teams this year, but it's interesting. Anything else that you are watching from this bracket? Any storylines that you're watching? Did you fill out a bracket? You probably haven't had time to fill out a bracket.
Yeah, no, I have not. I've looked at the Marquette's region specifically. Beyond that, I haven't expanded my scope that far, but
yeah. Who steps up for Marquette? Because if this team is to go to the Final Four, it's obviously going to be the players that have led them here, you know, the Kolicks and the Iguodaros of the world. Who's itching for a breakout? Is there anybody or any aspect of this game? You wrote about their defense really stepping up, perhaps in the aftermath of the tournament. What's got to happen for them to get that far?
Yeah, I think along the lines of the defense, I think not a lot of people recognize how big a part of this team that Olivier Maxence Prosper is, just being a 6'8" guy. Who's super athletic, super long, very active defensively. He can guard super quick guards. He can guard big guys. He's so versatile on the defensive end. And he's the guy that you can throw on like a hot player if they have to play Brandon Miller for Alabama. He's a guy that can guard him. Or, you know, name any other top perimeter player. Omax is the guy that's going to get the assignment. And offensively, he showed in the Big East tournament, like he can step out and hit threes. He's Marquette's best player at drawing fouls on the other team. That's typically not a strong suit of this team, but Omax is probably the guy that does it best, getting to the paint and drawing contact. David Joplin off the bench, we mentioned him. When Marquette is shooting threes, it's a pretty average three-point shooting team overall, but they have guys that can get hot. David Joplin can get super hot. Cam Jones can get hot. And when they're hitting threes, I mean, that the offense is just impossible to stop. So those are the guys that they're kind of the unsung heroes of the team.
If I try to invent intangibles, I think every time this tournament rolls around, we try to pretend there's any science whatsoever. There's no science whatsoever. There's no model that told you St. Peter's was going to win three games in the tournament last year. It's absolute nonsense. This tournament is nonsense, and that's why we love it. But if I try to imagine something, I like how this team has so much fearlessness across the board. They're going to be in environments where Michigan State is pretty reasonably close to Columbus.
Yes,
like that's
sure, yeah.
not going to be a partisan crowd for Marquette, at least. I think it's going to be 50-50 at most charitable. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be environments that are either – it's just not that home crowd juice. They're going to have to invent their own sort of energy. And you've got guys who can do that on this team. Like Cam Jones – is fearless.
Yeah.
Sean Jones, right?
Sean Jones, yeah.
Fearless when he's in it. And
he's
playing.
Actually from Columbus, so he's going back home.
That's perfect. Omax, too, is there a connection with somebody else on this team has some Ohio connections? Am I right or am I wrong? I'm making it up, clearly.
Ohio, let me think.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll write about it when it comes up, right? Chase Ross, another guy who comes off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, exciting, fearless. They can light it up when they have to, and I feel like that energy is going to carry over, especially for a young team that just has not done it. You know, Marquette has not won. When was the last time they won a first-round game? It's not.
2013.
It is 2013.
This is going
to
be a decade.
And Vander Blue had to save the day against Davidson for that to even happen. And, yes, then they went to the Elite Eight. Great second-round game against Gonzaga. Yeah, that was a great time.
And Shaka Smart hasn't won a tournament game since he was at VCU. So
since
I think
he went to the
if
Final
they
Four.
Get that first one out of the way against Vermont.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, get those, exercise all those demons, alleviate all the anxieties of the hashtag MUBB community. And
they're a fun group.
Yeah. Get that out of the way, and I think, you know, go from there.
Real quickly, I want to go to the women's team a little bit. They play South Florida. They get a 9 seed. That's an 8-9 matchup. In the first round of the tournament, you know, there aren't many, there's bracketology all over the internet for the men's tournament. There are fewer options for the women's tournament. It wasn't clear to me if Marquette was even going to safely be in the tournament. They end up getting a 9 seed, which obviously is much safer than the 11 seeds with the first four. But I can't tell you a lot about South Florida. I presume that I presume most listeners don't know a lot about the Marquette women's team. So just give me a little bit of background on what they've got going on. Chloe Murata of Homestead High School, I know, is one of the top players on that team. But what made that team tough and got them that tournament resume?
Yeah, they're a real scrappy team. They're pretty fun to watch. Like you mentioned, Chloe Murata, she's a very hard-nosed banger, rebounder, just like her dad was at Marquette in the early '80s. And she's really tough. She feels like she's always been on the team as long as I've been covering the team. This is her fifth year playing. I don't think they can find any more years of eligibility for her. I don't know if they've checked the compliance office or if she signed a lifetime contract with them. I'm not sure. But this is definitely her last year. So she's looking for her first NCAA tournament win. Jordan King, who I have always been huge. I enjoy watching her game. She's a very cerebral point guard, really good shooter, really good scorer, just a really smart basketball player. And very, like, you could tell her leadership skills are there. She's just kind of the glue player that every really good team needs. They're another team that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in a while. They were in the WNIT last year. Lost in the first round the year before that. They were going to be in the tournament, Coach Megan Duffy's first season, but that was the COVID year, so
right.
She's looking for her first tournament win. But then if they do get that first win, then, you know, you got to face number one South Carolina down there in South Carolina, so that's going to be a tall task. But, you know, this is a season that the Marquette women beat UConn for the first time in program history. They beat number three Texas early in the season. That kind of open some people's eyes to just how good and much better team than people thought that this Marquette team was going to be. So we'll see. It's March, you know. Anything can happen. That's what that's the theme that we bring up every year.
Yeah, it is an awesome time of year. It's so fun. I to go back to the men's tournament, I think I'm going to pick Colgate to beat Texas in my bracket.
They're the best three-point shooting team?
They're the best three-point shooting team in the nation. They have the single best three-point shooter in the nation. He comes off the bench for them. And another guy
That's
who
crazy.
Shoots 46% and doesn't qualify.
That's crazy.
They have so much experience. They've been to NCAA tournaments before. They gave Wisconsin all they could handle
in Milwaukee last year.
That was a seven-point game, ultimately. Wisconsin had to really dig deep to make sure that didn't become a problem. You can't have a better situation. Texas has been through some stuff this year, and they've come out on the other side just fine. Mm-hmm. Won the Big 12, right? Big 12 tournament. So, I'm picking against a really, really good team, but I don't know. I got a vibe. I think that's my hot take for this tournament. I also looking at these mascots here, trying to pick out the best. Of course, the Grand Canyon Lopes are high on my list, and you know why, right? You know why I'm a big fan of the Grand Canyon Lopes. Their head coach. Is Bryce Drew.
Oh, yes.
Valparaiso University
forever.
Zone. Yes. My alma mater. I went there after the shot that Bryce Drew hit. No, that is not the reason I went to Valparaiso, although it probably got it on the map for me in some way, shape, or form. Of course, the Jenkins twins of Nicolet High School playing a big role. I'm not even going to say which guy because I'll be wrong. I'm pretty sure that was Bill Jenkins who threw the pass to Bryce Drew. But, you know, Bob Jenkins' twin brother also played a big role for that team going to the Sweet 16. The Norse, two teams named after the Gaels in this tournament, St. Mary's and Iona.
Yeah.
Mentioned the Paladins, that's a good one. The Gauchos of UC Santa Barbara winning their conference tournament out west. That's a good one. I got to say, I'm looking through this list, and now it's not as powerful as I thought it might be. There's a lot. There's a couple Owls in here. Just some of the usual suspects. I mean, there's some good mascots from power conference teams that we just take for granted because they're always in the tournament. The Friars, the Islanders from Texas A&M Corpus Christi, not terrible. But I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. I'm not sure. Ben, any last thoughts before I let you go about this Marquette basketball team?
Oh, I'm ready, man. Take it one game at a time, JR. That's what we do.
Love it. The cliches are here. The
March.
Nonsense is here. The madness will be here in no time. Friday, St. Patrick's Day. Oh, should they be worried that they're playing a team that wears green on St. Patrick's Day?
Ooh, I didn't even factor that into my thinking. I even forgot it was St. Patrick's Day coming up. That's how lost I am in this world right now.
Vermont, if you take the word green in French, vert and mont for mountain, you smash them together, you get the word Vermont, which is why Vermont is the green mountain state.
Lots of green.
The
lots
more
green
you know.
In
lots
Vermont.
Of green. Yeah, that is a concern. That is a concern that I'm sure Shaka will address pregame. Do not...
It'll be part of the scout, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. It's the home teams that wear white, right? Or the home teams, the better seeds that wear white. Mm-hmm. So... A concern. Yes, that's St. Patrick's Day. What's our tip time? 1:20 in the afternoon?
1:45. Milwaukee time, 2:45 out in Columbus.
All right. Columbus, Ohio, Ben Steele will be there. Follow him on Twitter at BenSteeleMJS. He'll have all kinds of updates for you. And we will be back doing this again, probably only if they make the Final Four, which that would be a great time. We should have a big blowout party. We'll have multiple guests or something on the podcast. It'll be really great. If Marquette gets that far. So enjoy the madness. Enjoy the tournament. Thank you, Ben Steele, for joining me. And appreciate you listening to this episode of the Point Forward podcast. Take care, Ben.
Thanks. Been fun.